Prepare our hearts, O God, to hear your word. Silence in us any voices but your own, that we may see and be summoned to the vantage points that bring your salvation to us today. Give us courage, hope, and new life to live as your people in a world that is often hateful. Grant that we may give ourselves away for the sake of those who need to be found by you now. Amen. So although I picked this passage weeks ago, this story about a man who climbed a tree to see Jesus holds new poignancy when read against the backdrop of the events that transpired at a synagogue named Tree of Life, where tragedy struck just a week ago, where the hatred in one human heart wreaked havoc, not only for a faith community, but for all of us who could say, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." In a press release following the attack, a rabbi named Rick Jacobs said, "The murders took place during a prayer service in the Tree of Life congregation, where, like synagogues all over the world, they were reading from Genesis, recounting how Abraham welcomed perfect strangers into his tent." How painful and ironic that we live in a time when we have to temper our loving welcome of strangers as we protect our communities from violence and hate. And so as we turn to our scriptures today, let us listen for the word of Jesus calling us to climb down out of the trees in which we hide, that he may dine with us today and help us with this hate that has so infected our society, putting us all at risk. Listen now for God's word to you. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. His name is Zacchaeus. He's a Jew who lived at the time of the Roman Empire, a chief tax collector by trade, and a very rich man. Rich on account of his collaboration with the Roman authorities. While the governors ensured that peace and prosperity flowed down from the emperor, tax collectors made sure cash came up from the people and that its benefits reached those at the top. If you were a tax collector, you could get rich because you were allowed to take your skim of the profit as the money headed to Rome. Those beneath you hated you because of what you took from them, and those above you worried that you might be taking more than your fair share and thus distrusted you. In her book, Grateful, Diana Butler Bass observes, "No wonder Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see who Jesus was. It's who he was, a climber. He may have started at the bottom just like everybody else, but boy, he learned to hustle. He discovered the benefits that came with wealth, even if it cost him in the status with my friends and neighbors department. And so when word got around that Jesus was coming and a crowd began to form, when lots of people, other people got there first in their eagerness to see who Jesus was, Zacchaeus did what he always did, got in front of everybody else by climbing up above them, where he sized up the situation from a safe and respectable distance. Was this the promised Messiah who would send the Romans packing? That would be bad for business. Would Jesus inspire rebellion or encourage the masses to resist paying their taxes? No profit in that. Or was Zacchaeus spiritually curious? Did he climb up there to hide, ashamed of who he'd become but afraid to face it? Might it be starting to dawn on him that this wealth has come with quite a cost and to his own detriment? When Jesus came, he stopped and he looked up and he called out, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Jesus calls him down and practically orders Zacchaeus to stand eye to eye, toe to toe, on the ground as Jesus invites himself to dinner. "Stop climbing, Zacchaeus. Come and sit." Those who saw this happening began to grumble and complain because in this brazen demonstration of his reputation for associating with outsiders, Jesus has now violated the laws governing table fellowship. To sit at table with someone indicates approval. How dare Jesus approve of Zacchaeus' sinful life? How dare he convey welcome and wholeness? How dare he signal acceptance, even forgiveness? Whatever happened to God's judgment on people like this? Shouldn't Jesus be calling out Zacchaeus' behavior? Why wouldn't he insist that this guy clean up his act before deigning to dine at his house? Well, because in this instance with Jesus, that's not how salvation works. In this instance, salvation comes from calling out the goodness of the image of God in which Zacchaeus was made. Did you know that Zacchaeus was a common Jewish name, meaning innocent or clean? But this man named Zacchaeus had lost this essence at his core. The way he was living in the world did not match the intentions of the one who had made him and gifted him. And so Zacchaeus has to come down from the tree to see in Jesus' eyes and to hear in his voice the call that would restore him to himself and to God and to his neighbors. He has to come down from the tree to be given this vantage point that saves him. And from this vantage point, Zacchaeus makes an astonishing promise. He pledges half of his substantial wealth to the poor and restitution to any he has defrauded. As Jesus pronounces the salvation that came to Zacchaeus' house that day, the ethical dimensions of salvation come into view. Yes, we are saved as we confess with our lips and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord. And we are also saved as we amend our lives to conform to and to create the kind of community that Jesus called into being around him. The kingdom of God kind of community that Jesus called down out of that tree. In a powerful scene from a movie called Edges of the Lord, a young Jewish boy named Romig is sent by his parents to live in a Catholic village in order to protect him from the Nazis. The village priest takes Romig under his wing, but the boy cannot be sheltered from the atrocities happening around them. Several villagers have recently been executed by the Nazis, and Romig has seen the trains carrying the Jews to the death camps. He is afraid that his true identity will be discovered, and so he goes to the church to talk to the priest, who he finds in the sacristy preparing the holy hosts for communion. The priest has a large swath of dough from which he is cutting the circles that will be given to the members of the congregation. Observing the Jewish boy's curiosity, the priest says, "Go ahead and try some. It's okay. They aren't hosts yet. They are just the edges. I never bless the edges." Conscious again of his identity as a Jew, as an outsider to this Christian faith, the young boy asks, "Father, are we blessed, or are we just the edges?" "We are all scraps," the priest replies, "and we are all blessed just the same." "All of us?" asks the boy, as he snaps off pieces of the wafers and names those he has loved who have recently been killed. The question hangs in the air but is never verbalized. How can it be that we are all blessed when there is so much hate, so much violence? How can it be that in eating this bread and drinking from this cup, we are the edges of the Lord, blessed no matter who we are or what we've been through, no matter how we suffer or how lost or confused we may be? We are all scraps, and we are all blessed just the same. This is the community that Jesus calls into being from the vantage point of this table. This is the beloved community we affirm as we receive the bread of heaven and drink from the cup of salvation. So, what is the ethical dimension of this salvation for us today? How are we called to amend our lives to create the kind of community Jesus wants for us, especially given the toxicity of the hate that keeps erupting in acts of violence? Susan is a Presbyterian minister who serves a congregation in the Squirrel Hill community near the Tree of Life Synagogue. As she participated in the 7-day Shiva morning rites with her neighbors, the community was put on forced lockdown due to the presidential motorcade's planned drive through their neighborhood. Under lockdown, they were unable to keep Shiva with those grieving. As the presidential procession drove by her home, Susan shouted her dismay at the disruption caused by this visit, hoping simply that the president would hear her voice through the soundproofed car doors. However, a TV camera captured her shouting. Without showing that she was trying to get the attention of the motorcade passing by her home or why, that video, identifying her as a Presbyterian minister, went viral on the internet. Within 12 hours, it had been viewed nearly 2 million times, and nearly 50,000 responses had been posted. Susan subsequently interviewed with another TV network to explain why she was upset about the timing of the visit, and that she would welcome a presidential visit once the Shiva period had passed. In that interview, she sought to model the grace of reaching out to understand those whose perspectives differed from her own while maintaining her own convictions. However, the first video clip had already unleashed a torrent of hate-filled speech. Pittsburgh Presbytery's Facebook page was inundated with responses, some so vile and vengeful that the presbytery temporarily suspended its Facebook page. The office was swamped with phone calls and emails exorciating Susan, the presbytery, and the denomination. Now, adding to the grief of the loss of lives in their community, people of faith are also grieving the incendiary expression of pent-up anger and the unspeakable grief of unmitigated hate. Friends, it seems like followers of Jesus could do better. What we do with our anger and how we handle our strong convictions begins with when Jesus calls us to come down and stand eye to eye, toe to toe on the ground with those who are hurting and angry. It's not enough to grumble about all that's not right. It's not enough to take protective measures seeking to secure ourselves and all houses of worship against any threat, either real or imagined. It's not enough to simply pray or cry or shout. We need the kind of salvation that Jesus announced from the table of a tax collector. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, Jesus said. And so salvation comes to us today as we stop climbing and confess that we are all lost in the hate that has infected our own hearts and our own communities. And salvation comes to us today when we stand before Jesus and accept responsibility for our own words and actions. When we set the table where forgiveness is practiced, and those on opposite sides of our problems may find a vantage point for together pursuing the common good. Salvation comes from the vantage point of this table, where we can try to see things from someone else's point of view, where we can make it our business to listen to someone else's story, where we can choose our words with care and say them respectfully, persistently, bravely. And we cannot just say them. We can live them with kindness and generosity of spirit as well as practice. We can make space in our hearts and put flesh on our words for a world that desperately needs to hear and see and be saved by the love of Jesus Christ, the living Word. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now I would like to offer a moment of silence for you to speak the silent prayers of your heart to God. And we ask that you would find us and find all of your beloved children, wherever we are lost, whether it be in hate or in grief or in feeling left out. We pray that when you find us, we will also find the courage to change our lives in ways that make it possible for the beloved community you intend to flourish and grow within and around us. We pray in your name. Amen.